right. Good evening. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John 14:6. Let's turn to John 14:6, starting off here, please. I don't have one central passage that we'll go to tonight. I apologize for that, because that kind of helps us follow it a little better, I think. But I have a few that we'll turn to, and some thoughts that I want to start getting into our heads a little bit. We'll see if the Lord leads to turn this into a longer series or not. Maybe he will, studying out some things. But if not, I hope that the thoughts I share tonight with you will impact your thinking a little bit this week and cause you to focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus more this week. John 14:6, it's a very familiar verse in the Bible. Let's take a look at it here. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We have heard many messages preached on this verse. I think even back in December, Stephen Ratchford was here, and he did a whole series on the verse. And it is a very, very interesting verse to think about. Because Jesus is making a statement about who he is. And so that is one, of course, for us to perk up and pay close attention to. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. Let's think about those three things for just a moment. But as we get into these thoughts, I want to challenge us this evening with the idea of don't forget about Jesus this week. Don't forget about Jesus. Why is Jesus so important? You talk to me for a little bit. Why do you think Jesus is so important? Okay, he's our Savior. Very good. That's why Jesus is important. He's our Savior. Carrie said he's our Creator, and that's we could find that as well in the Word of God, John chapter 1. Jesus is the one who created all things. Why else is Jesus important? That's right. He's as a loving Heavenly Father to us. He's always there for us. Very good. Why else would Jesus be important to us? He's our advocate. Oh, that's a good idea. Yep, he goes before God the Father for us to demonstrate that he represents us. Okay? He's our advocate. When the devil is accusing us, there is Jesus for us. Jim?
He's our coming king.
He's our coming king. Very good. Yep, he'll touch down on the Mount of Olives one future day, and it'll be a glorious, glorious day. He will reign forever one day. Why else is Jesus important? I thought of this. Well, because the whole Bible is written about him, right? That's one reason he's a very important person as you look down through history. There's an entire book written about Jesus. Even back in the Old Testament, you know, it was all leading up to who Jesus was going to be as he walked on this earth. And, of course, the Bible talks about who Jesus is in the future. So a whole book is written about him, the Bible. Why is Jesus important? Well, because his time on this earth impacted all of history, past history and all of future history. That's why Jesus is important. I don't care who you are on this earth. Eventually, you'll probably hear the name Jesus, and you'll start to recognize there's something about this Jesus that was significant, at the very minimum. Okay? You could go all around the world, and you would find people who know of Jesus because his time on this earth has impacted all of history. And then I want to finish with this thought, which was already mentioned. He's able to deliver you. He's our Savior. That's why Jesus is important to us tonight. He can take us from a place of bondage and free us from that. He is able to deliver us and save us from sins. Other reasons why Jesus is important, but let's just think of those for a start. Jesus is very important. And so I want to challenge us this week in just some very simple forms tonight. Don't forget about Jesus. It says in John 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way. This was in response to, Thomas, I believe. Remember, he was talking to his disciples and telling them what was about to take place. Jesus was going to be leaving them. And he was saying how I go to prepare a place for you. And his disciples are like, they didn't know how to take this. Is this good news? Is this bad news? What? And how do we get to where you are was the question that Thomas essentially asked, I remember. And Jesus said, here's the answer. Me. I'm the answer. I am the way, the truth, the life. I'm the answer. And if we expand these thoughts further in coming months, we're going to be studying then the idea that Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything that we need. And I hope to discover that much more deeply in my life. How about you? We know it up here. We hear preachers say it. Christ is all. Jesus is everything. And I don't know about you exactly, but I believe you're like me. I want to discover that truth much deeper this year. We do it by recognizing what he's done for us in the past. We have to take that and look at the Word of God and see, okay, this is who my Savior really is. And letting that soak in. But not just leaving it as head knowledge, folks. I'm challenged myself that I take it and I live it out practically on a daily basis. That Jesus truly is everything to me. He answered his disciples and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way to what? Well, they were talking about, I guess, heaven there. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And they were wondering, how do we get there? And Jesus said, I'm the way. But I like to think about it this way. He is the way to what? He's the way to my deliverance. He was the way to their deliverance. He didn't use the word deliverance, but that was the end goal. It was to get us sinful creatures out of this prison of sin to that place of freedom that he wants all of us to live in. Not only in the future, but even now. And so he was trying to describe to them that he was the answer, and he was the way to deliverance. It is only through Jesus that we can be saved from the destruction that is destined to ruin our sin-filled lives. And he was communicating that to them that day. He said, I am the way. But he also said, I am the truth. He's the truth of deliverance, we could say. You see, there were others that were claiming and would claim that they were the Messiah, but they were false Christs. Only Jesus spoke with words of impeccable truth that pointed souls to salvation. Back in John chapter 6, they were, I believe... Jesus was doing miracles and things, and many people, after he did some preaching, many people were like, we don't know about this person, and they turned away. They stopped following him, various disciples that of the throngs of people that were following him. And Jesus turned to his disciples, you remember, and he said something like, are you also going to leave? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter recognized that there was something different about this man. He had words of life, eternal life. And it's truth in the things that he is saying. And Jesus said to them and reminded them, I'm the way, I'm the truth that you need. And he's the truth that we come to realize in our lives that brings deliverance to us. He's that truth. He's also the life. This is one aspect of our Lord in particular that I want to learn much deeper this year, because there's much more practical application, I think, when you think about the concept of Jesus being our life. He is the way of deliverance, the truth of deliverance, but also the life of deliverance. He wants to bring daily deliverance to us, friends. We'll get into this tonight more, not just past deliverance, salvation, the point when we realized we are sinners and we need a Savior and we accepted Christ as that Savior, but he wants to bring life, real life to us, eternal life on a daily basis, a life of deliverance. Jesus is the source of both our physical lives and our spiritual lives. He gives us eternal life. He gives purpose and action to our naturally, let's call it, dormant existence. That's not quite a good word, but this is the one I thought of when I was doing some study here. Our very, very lifeless existence without him. He's the one that activates us. He's the one that gives us that life that can serve, that life that can live victoriously. He is that source. He is the life, he said. I think that many of us believers fall into a trap of thinking of eternal life as being this thing that we can possess. But friends, let's remember that eternal life is not a thing we have. It is a relationship we have. It is a relationship we have with the Savior that is an ongoing, daily, moment-by-moment thing, or it's supposed to be. Let's not get trapped into this thinking that our eternal life, the gift of eternal life that we have now that we've put our trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, is just a thing that we now possess. A gift that we now possess. It's more than just a gift. It's a relationship. Are we living in that life? Is one of the questions we need to ask. He is the life, he said. That eternal life that we get from him, the life that he offers to us, and he offered to the woman at the well, you remember. That eternal life, friends, is not just a thing, it's a relationship, and that eternal life does not have to wait until eternity. It is the will of God that we begin to live that eternal life right now. So are we living that way? I have much more I want to learn about this myself, but these are some of the thoughts that the Lord has brought to my mind lately, and I want to just encourage you this evening to dwell on it more this week as in your relationship with the Lord. And so I challenge you, would you seek the Lord and what he really is in your life? Would you discover the delivering life of Jesus and learn that Jesus is the answer to everything? As we look at who Jesus is as the Savior, and realize this isn't just dealing with salvation. This is dealing with more than that. We need to understand that we can have a life of deliverance on a daily basis through a life of dependence upon Jesus. I had you turn to John 14, verse 6, just to kind of springboard and introduce some of these thoughts. But let's turn over to Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. My thoughts this evening are not as organized as I'd like them to be, but I think they'll make some sense to us and give us something to chew on. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And I'd like to present an idea to you to ponder about stumbling blocks. You say, what? We're talking about Jesus, and now we're switching over to stumbling blocks? Well, just follow with me for a moment. We'll look at 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9 in a moment to help us understand stumbling blocks. But the other day, I learned what a stumbling block was in a very real way. Actually multiple times, this stumbling block has gotten me. In the barn, in the morning, when it's dark, for some reason, we have an old post that used to hold up some of the barn structure that's broken off, and it's on the barn floor there. And for some reason, we don't really get it out of the way. It just kind of lies there. And I've probably stumbled over that stumbling block two or three times over the last year or two. And there it remains. And there I don't move it. So I keep hitting this stumbling block, and it's teaching me I need to be very, very aware of the obstacles as I'm navigating my way through that portion of the barn, or that thing will get me again. I need to be conscious of it. Every morning, if I'm walking along that side, that there's a stumbling block there, or my navigation through that portion of the barn will be hindered. Likewise, just about 20 feet over, another one got me, but it wasn't my foot that time, it was my head. And there we have a contraption for containing the animals, and if you don't close this one lever the whole way, this lever sticks out right at your forehead height, or my forehead height. And I think now the second time, as of a few days ago, I walked right into that thing. And that is the idea of a stumbling block, though we often think of it to be something down at your feet. But it's something that you run into, that you trip over, because you were not aware of it properly. You were not comprehending the way to navigate through that particular area efficiently, and so therefore you tripped over the thing. It got you. It hindered your process of passing through. That is the idea of a stumbling block. It is something that you fail to navigate past successfully because you failed to notice that it was there. Now, most of the time when we see the idea of a stumbling block in the Bible, it's used metaphorically, of course, like 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And there's a number of other passages in the Bible, but here is a passage about trying to be careful with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we wouldn't put a stumbling block in front of someone else who views a particular issue differently than you. And we studied through this. Pastor took us through this just recently. But chapter 8, verse 9 says, "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." And so the idea is there, the weaker brother does not have the same understanding of that area that he needs to pass through, that issue that is at hand. And so he's passing through there unaware of the correct way to think about this. Causes him to be the weaker brother. And so he thinks about it differently. He understands it differently and therefore trips over, gets messed up and is in his navigation through as he's passing by with that particular issue at hand. Does that make sense? It's a stumbling block. Now, let's bring this back to Jesus. Is it possible that Jesus has maybe become one of our greatest stumbling blocks? You say, wait a second, Pastor Dan, where are you going? Jesus, or rather a stumbling block, remember, is something that we don't understand properly. We fail to recognize how we need to navigate through there, and therefore we trip over it. Often when we think of stumbling blocks, we think of something like maybe materialism or apathy in our hearts or pride or prayerlessness or maybe worldliness in our churches or just liberalism, you know, people compromising. And those kinds of things being stumbling blocks to us. And they are real issues and they are often stumbling blocks. Not to make light of those things. People trip over them. Good people fail to navigate through some of those important issues that we encounter in life and stumble and get backslidden because of a lot of the things I mentioned and many things more that I could mention. Because it took them by surprise. Maybe they did not understand it through a good biblical application. They weren't prepared to maybe deal with that in their spiritual lives, and so they stumble. But is it possible that maybe even worse than some of those things, we stumble over who Jesus is and what he ought to be in our lives? Maybe is it possible that Jesus has actually become our greatest stumbling block, and that was never intended to be?
So I want to ask you, have you possibly stumbled over Jesus? Have you possibly failed to navigate through and stumbled over what he wants to be for you in your life? We need to understand that Satan will do whatever he can to get our focus off of Jesus. You stumble over those things that you don't realize are there. You stumble over those things that you're not understanding correctly. And we have an enemy that is bent on doing all he can to get us to focus on things other than Jesus, to focus on the problems of life, to focus on the issues of how am I going to make it through and what am I going to do, and the sin temptations and all these other things. And he wants to get our focus off of Jesus in all the ways he can. And I want to challenge us even this week, friends, let's turn our focus back to Jesus. Let's learn who he is. Let's understand what it means when he is the life and apply that on a practical level to our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Turn over there, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3.
Now, my intention tonight, and as I study this into the future, is not to be confusing. And I'm not just throwing out some fancy words and getting into theological things. No, I really want this to be simple. I want it to make sense. But stumbling blocks are often, well, they're stumbling blocks because we don't let them be simple. We try to make them complicated. And therefore, we don't understand it and we stumble over it.
But I want you to see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, that there is a simplicity about Jesus that we have to grasp. Many of us have heard about it. Many of us have understood that Jesus is simple and practical. We've heard of it, but it's time to remember, friends. It's time for us to make sure our focus is where it needs to be and that Satan doesn't distract us from this, because it's so easy to get our eyes off of Jesus. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, Paul said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." There is a simplicity about your relationship with Christ that you need to live by. There's a simplicity about Christ. He needs to be our everything. It just comes down to that. He needs to be our everything. We turn to him for salvation, and we need to turn to him in every other area of life as well. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's very simple. We understand the gospel. We have put our trust in Jesus Christ, and we understand how salvation works. But for some reason, we tend to disconnect that from how to live victoriously now. And let's not do that. Let's not stumble over who Jesus is. He's not just our Savior, friends. He is our life. He is everything. And so don't give in to the devil's temptations, because surely he's going to try to get us to look other ways when the Bible says, look unto Jesus. Surely the devil is going to try to beguile us as well through his subtlety and try to make Jesus complicated to us. But friends, one of the main points of this is the same way we got saved is the same way we need to live for victory. The same Christ who saved us and was the deliverer there, excuse me, the deliverer there is the same one who can deliver us on a daily basis. It's that simple. But the devil doesn't want us to think of it that way. He wants us to think that, no, it's not all Jesus. You have to perform a certain way. You have to live up to a certain standard too. You see, part of this is you as well. But is that how salvation worked?
Simple faith in Jesus and he delivered us. What about daily living? You see, it's simple. Same way. Jesus needs to be our everything. Let's not let the devil beguile us through the simplicity of Christ. Don't let Jesus become more of a stumbling block to you living in victory than something like worldly music or something like materialism or whatever, all the other things we learned and mentioned. Those things trip up a lot of people, but don't let Jesus be the one tripping you up. Let's understand who he is and how simple he is in daily application, living his life through us. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We do all those things. We recognize there's a great cloud of witnesses. We lay aside every weight, get sin out of our lives. We run our race with patience. And all of that with our focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. It's very simple tonight, folks. Don't take your eyes off of him. Remember that he is everything. Everything. When that comes to you're having a rough day, well, there's an issue with your perspective there about who Jesus is. You're discouraged about something. You got to get your eyes back to Jesus. You don't know how something is going to be provided. Jesus. You don't have the answer for this. Jesus. Jesus is everything. And there's a simplicity about him that we can't get away from, folks. He wants to be the way. He wants to be the truth for us. He wants to be the life. And so, let's make sure he is. Number one, Jesus, the stumbling block. Be very careful about that. Don't stumble, as I believe many Christians do, over who Jesus is and the simplicity about him. He's our Savior, but he also wants to give us daily victory, and he is the answer for both. Number two, Jesus the Savior. So he sadly has become a stumbling block to many believers, and that should never be. But remember that Jesus is the Savior. I've already mentioned it. He's the one that gives us deliverance from sin. He's the one who provides salvation. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, "I will sanctify unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed." It says, salvation is of the Lord. Number two, Jesus is the Savior. Acts 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved." Jesus is the Savior. So we understand that. We have a sin problem. Jesus took that sin problem upon himself and paid for those sins. If we put our trust in what he did, not what we could try to do, then he delivers that of us. And we receive the gift of eternal life. We receive salvation. So we know that. We've heard that. That's how we got here. That's why we're here. Because he is the Savior. But you know what? Jesus has become a stumbling block specifically to the Jewish people over that very issue. You see, the Jewish people, many of them, do not recognize Jesus as the Savior. And so we do have to remember the fact that, well, he is. And sadly, there's many that stumble over that issue. The Jews have stumbled over Jesus. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 9, verse 31. So one of my points here is many unsaved, of course, have stumbled over Jesus as he being the Savior. But I want us to continue in the thought as well that, sadly though, many believers are stumbling over the fact that Jesus is more than that. So the Jews have stumbled over Jesus. It says in verse 31 of Romans chapter 9, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And so God in eternity past knew that Jesus would be a stumbling stone to many people. In other words, they're navigating through life. They recognize things aren't working out for me so well. There's got to be more to life than this. They're navigating through, they're passing on their way, and because they don't understand who Jesus is, that obstacle there, that thing that is in their path, they stumble right over him and they miss it. And they don't see. Sadly, many of the Jews do not see that Jesus is the Savior. We could also see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul said, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. So, for many unbelievers, Jesus is a stumbling block to them. But we're tying this together, folks. Sadly, I think for many believers, he is as well, but in a different way. You see, they stumble over him as being the Savior. But I'm afraid many of us on a daily basis stumble over Jesus as being the one who sustains us for sanctification, for service, for living a victorious Christian life. Because instead of depending upon Jesus as we did for salvation, we didn't stumble there. We instead depend upon ourselves for sanctification, for service, and we stumble there. We miss the point about who Jesus is and what he's supposed to do for us at that point in life as well. In all these other ways of living victoriously, we stumble over Jesus there, and it's so sad because Jesus is the answer, not ourselves. We need to understand that Jesus is not just our future Savior, he's a present one. He wants to be saving us, not from sin. We, as believers, that's been taken care of. We haven't stumbled there with him. We got it. We understood it. But on a present day-to-day basis, he wants to be saving us, delivering us from the discouragement, from the temptations, from all the hardships of this life. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And he is a present Savior, friends. So we see Jesus, the stumbling block, Jesus, the Savior. Many have stumbled over him in that aspect. But I want you to see finally, number three, Jesus, the source. Yeah, all these points are kind of flowing right together. I don't know if they're really distinct to you, but Jesus is the source. He's the everything. Are you living under the mindset of salvation is by faith, but sanctification is by works? Yeah, we know the answer to that. The answer is no. No. Salvation is by faith. Sanctification, living for God, is by faith as well. But just because we would know that up here and know the right answer doesn't mean that we are living with that mindset, the correct mindset, that they're both by faith. It is very easy for us, friends, to fall into a pattern of day-to-day life where we are living sanctification by works. Now, we know not positionally, but practical sanctification, ongoing, daily, holy living, serving God, doing his will in our lives, living with the mindset of works instead of the mindset of faith.
Someone said, only God meets the standard of God. It's a good thought. We need to let that sink in. Only God meets the standard of God. Friends, we have to remember that we cannot substitute Jesus with anything else. We may try to live our lives and serve God in our own strength, by our works, in the dependence upon the flesh. But what are we going to get with that? Failure.
But if we put Jesus in there, his way, his truth, his life, then we can meet God's standard. Because it's not us, it's Jesus. The only one who can meet God's standard is God, Jesus. And so the answer is dependence upon him.
Let's be careful that we don't fall into this mindset, at least on a practical level, of, okay, salvation, yes, that's by faith. But sanctification and service, that's me. I've got to do it. I've got to choose to do it. You do have a choice to make.
But that's not where the strength comes from. I want to learn more how this practically, plays out. But what I believe on a very, very practical level is I'm encountering something in my day, and at that moment I say, Jesus, I need you. Does that have to be out loud? Maybe, if that's what you need. But there's at least a recognition of looking to Jesus in that moment. I need you right here. This is you, not me. We did that with salvation. We came to an understanding at that point in life that Jesus was the answer. I couldn't do it. Only he can. And so I said, Jesus, I need you. Right there. And then. And he saved me as he said he would. He delivered me back then. It's the same way for living on a daily basis, that eternal life that we have. That relationship. Jesus, I need you for this. Jesus, I don't know what to do here. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He needs to be our everything because he is the answer. Living the Christian life in your own strength cannot please God. And so as we close tonight, just some simple thoughts to get our thinking what it should be. Is Jesus your source? Your source for living? Or is it your own strength? Is your focus in your Christian life self, or is it Christ? Don't be one of the many believers, sadly, that stumble over Jesus. Yes, we would expect the world to do that, and the Bible says they do. But I think we can too if we're not careful. Self-dependence is stumbling over Jesus. We need to look unto him. And we need to trust in him as being the way, the truth, and the life. And realize we can't get to God. We can't fulfill his will in our lives without Jesus, because he is everything. Let's bow our heads in prayer. In a moment, Pastor will come and close our service as he sees fit. Lord, we need you in this. We want to discover you more this year. And I believe as we do that, Lord, we will see how wonderful you are as our Savior, as our source for everything. And I think it'll blossom in thankfulness. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to study Jesus more, even this week, that our focus, our thinking would be more correct, because we are so prone to thinking in that natural way that we have to cause the things to happen. But, Lord, we need to turn to you for it. And you will do the work, just like you do the work for salvation. So, Lord, help us to not stumble over who Jesus is this week, but to navigate correctly through understanding who you are and what you want to be for us this week. We pray
for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.